Good evening. Please turn with me to Proverbs and chapter 3. Proverbs and chapter 3, we consider verse 5 and 6 together this evening, but we'll read from verse 1 up to verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Children usually depend on their parents for guidance in life. They depend on their parents for so many things, for direction in life, when it comes to making important decisions, they depend on their parents. And that's how the Lord has designed it. And as this is happening, we can safely say, all things being normal and equal, their path will be good because they will be guided by someone who is wise, someone higher than them. And as we come to Proverbs chapter 3, there is this picture that we have, the words of wisdom being given to the son. And here the wise man says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And this son, because of what he's been told, he is supposed to depend on his father. He is supposed to depend on his parents, depend upon them. Proverbs is one book full of words of wisdom, not just to young people, but to the adults as well. Traditionally, King Solomon is credited as the primary author of this important book, though some sections of it have been written by other wise individuals. The reason this book was written was to provide practical wisdom for daily living, for various aspects of our lives, including morality, relationships, work, and decision making. This evening, though it is just the third Sunday of 2024, I would like to also infuse or to just bring this subject of dependence on God into our lives, knowing fully that we've been equipped by so many people powerful messages for 2024, I would like to also bring this to you this evening, dependence on God. This young man we see in Proverbs chapter 3 has to depend on the words of wisdom of his father. Similarly, you and I, for as long as we are here on earth, we have not reached perfection. For as long as we are here on earth, we still possess some amount of corruption. And that does not really guarantee that we'll make good decisions. And therefore, it is important that we depend on God. Dependence on God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, invites us to trust God wholeheartedly, to lean on his wisdom, to acknowledge him in every aspect of our lives. And indeed, once we do that, we will experience the straight path that he provides. In other words, what this man is saying to his son and to us this evening is that we ought to just surrender. We have to surrender our lives. We have to give our lives to God for guidance. Amid so many plans of 2024, individually, as families, as a church, we have to depend on God. There is a way in which when someone is developing, they become independent. They begin to question things. You've seen how your sons develop into independent people, and sometimes they don't need your help. And this worries you because you know that they haven't yet attained that kind of knowledge and strength and wisdom. So you still want to help them. There is a way in which when we as Christians gain wisdom, knowledge, that we sometimes tend to think that we don't need God. We may not proclaim it with our mouth, but it shows in the way we make decisions. It shows in the way we choose our careers. It shows in the way we choose life partners. It shows in the way we make church decisions that we are using the wisdom we have acquired and we have set aside God's direction and God's word. Putting trust in the wisdom of man is dangerous. Looking to ourselves is dangerous, both individually and corporately. In most cases, it is futile. We see this man telling his son, trust in the Lord. And therefore, I say to you that this subject of dependence on God is important. And what we see in these two verses, and these will form my points, and I just have 2 points this evening, the first being the command to depend on God. And secondly, the promise of depending on God. There is a command to depend on God in these two verses, but there is a promise attached to this command. We therefore observe in the first place and the first point, the command to depend on God. I just want to mention to you before we proceed that in case you are wondering why it is a command and why it is not just a call to depend on God, it is a command because it is instructive in nature. Not just by the words that we see in verse 5 and 6, by what we see from verse 1. There is some kind of authority that the parent has, and he speaks with the same. It is a command because it is not something to negotiate about. It is a command because it is instructive in nature. It is a command because it is something that has no substitute. And the Lord knows that we need to depend on Him. Listen to what He says. Trust in the Lord. Instructive, straight to the point. He also says, and lean not on your understanding. Lean not, again, something straight, instructive. We also see, acknowledge Him. Beloved brethren, this command has got three aspects that I want us to note here. The first one being trust in the Lord. The command begins with this important aspect of trusting the Lord. Remember where we are coming from? Dependence on God. The first step to depend on God is to trust Him. Allowing God to be our guide begins with a commitment to trust Him. What is to trust? According to the dictionary, simply to put confidence in something or someone. Firm belief in the character, strength, or truth of someone or something. Going a step further, applying it theologically, consulting the lexicon, trust is to set one's hope and confidence upon, to be secure, fearing nothing. And it is many times translated as confidence or security or hope. Therefore, when this wise man says, trust in the Lord, he is saying, put your confidence in the Lord. Put your security in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Set your hope and confidence upon God is the meaning of trust. We can say, to add on to this, that it is to securely rely upon God's wisdom, to rely upon God's power, to rely upon God's goodness, to rely upon His providence, His promises for the direction and help in our affairs and dangers. Beloved brethren, there are examples of people who trusted in God, and there are quite a number of them. But remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden when He is troubled. We see the words in Matthew chapter 26 verse 39. Not as I will, but as you will. These are words expressing someone's confidence and hope, trust in the Lord. And so as we talk about dependence on God, we must remember that it begins with trusting God. Do you trust the Lord? Have you set your hope and confidence upon the Lord? Or you have this figured out somewhere because of your connections, and therefore you do not really consider this important aspect of resting upon God. So, he doesn't just say, trust the Lord. There are so many other things that he says, as he says, trust, as he gives these instructions. But there is another question that we can ask as we look at the first component of dependence on God, which is trust. We know what it means to trust, but how can we trust? Listen to what he says in verse 5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. This kind of trust that we are talking about is a trust of total dependence on God. It is a trust that is done wholeheartedly, as we can see. In other words, what this man is saying, that your trust must be complete. Your trust must not be done in a way that we can say, for a lack of a better expression, anything less than 100%. It is not to have 50% trust in God and 50% trust in your own abilities. 50% trust in God, 50% trust in the man of God. It is 100%. He says, with all your heart. It is not just signifying a total trust, but it is also showing us that it has to be a trust from deep down the heart. It is complete. It comes from the heart, and therefore it is deep and it is genuine. This is what he says. Trust in the Lord. It is important to do so wholeheartedly. Beloved brethren, if at all you will depend on God in 2024, you must trust Him. We all know what it means to trust. But let me also say, as a way of just applying it quickly, that you can only trust someone you know. Even as this man is telling his son, as he's showing him the words of wisdom, and as we also apply to ourselves here, the man is also saying that he needs to have a personal relationship with his God. He needs to know Him. You cannot trust someone you don't know. You cannot entrust the lives of your children in a total stranger's lives, hands rather. You cannot entrust your bank account and details, you know, with someone that you don't know. You can't do that. You don't know them. And sometimes you may be surprised why it is difficult for you to trust the Lord or to depend upon Him, is simply because you do not know Him. You do not have a relationship with Him. For the Christian, probably because you are backslidden, you've forgotten about how powerful God is. You no longer trust His word. You no longer reflect on God's attributes, that is all powerful, that He is faithful. If you remember, there is a relationship you have With God, you know what it means when you say he's faithful. You cannot trust someone you know. You don't know, rather. And sometimes, even as a church, we may not be depending on God simply because we have lost sight of God and his word. Therefore, dependence on God, trusting. Apart from trusting, the second aspect comes in verse 5. And lean not on your own understanding. If you are to depend on God, you must not lean on your own understanding. That's what we are taught. And when the wise man says, do not lean on your own understanding, he is not encouraging us to live a Christianity where we leave our intellect outside or we take it outside and follow blindly. It is not a religion and Christianity which is empty. We are not setting aside our intellect. Rather, we are resting our intellect upon the intellect of God. This part of the verse is showing us in the negative what we should not do, not to lean. The first place it was positive, here, not to lean on your own understanding. But we may want to ask this question. What is to lean on your own understanding? To lean on your own understanding is to be reliant on your own strength and knowledge to the exclusion of God. I'll rely on what I know. I'll rely on my feelings. It doesn't matter what God's word says. That is leaning on our own understanding. It is trusting ourselves more than we trust God. It is to make important decisions of life based on our feelings and not considering any bit of God's command, God's word on that particular subject. It is actually proclaiming that my feelings and my will are supreme. It doesn't matter what you say, God, but this is how I feel. To lean on your own understanding is to completely regard God's word as not binding upon your life. It is to lack faith. In other words, it is to walk by sight and not by faith. There are people in the Bible we see who have leaned on their own understanding. And before we even talk about any other individuals in the Bible, we just go to the first two, Adam and Eve. They failed to trust God through and through. They failed to trust his word and his goodness, causing them to act upon their own wisdom and feelings and desires, leading to disobedience and death. Quickly, if the wise man says, lean not on your own understanding. We must ask this important question. Why shouldn't you lean on your own understanding? What is wrong with doing what you feel strongly that has to be done? What is wrong with you leaning on that particular, rod of your marriage? the person you want to marry, the job you want to take up. Why is it that it is wrong for you not to consult or to read God's word? Beloved friends and brethren, so many of the things that cause us the most difficulty and heartache in life are as a result of leaning on our own understanding. The source of so much anxiety, so much fear, so much doubt, so much anger with others and sometimes with God is as a result of leaning on our own understanding. We must also remember that there is human wisdom that we are using, and there is also God's wisdom. And the two are vastly different. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I would like to use those three passages of Scripture to advance reasons why it is not a wise thing to lean on our own understanding. Why shouldn't you lean on your own understanding? We see God's thoughts and man's thoughts are different. We should not lean on our own understanding because God's thoughts are supreme. They are higher. And if we are to do that which is right, we must lean on the higher wisdom. The wisdom of one who is perfect, the wisdom of one who is righteous, the wisdom of one who is omniscient, all-knowing, the wisdom of one who knows the future. We must not lean on our own understanding because of the limitations of human understanding. Our understanding of matters, of things, is limited. And so if we are to rely on the limited mind that we have, then it is not wise at all. Not only do we see from these verses that there are limitations, you know, of human understanding, there are also limitations of seeing the future. You cannot see what lies ahead of you. You do not know what is going to happen to you in 2024. But the Lord knows. Therefore, we must trust Him and not to lean on our own understanding. Why shouldn't we lean on our own understanding? Because of the imperfections of our heart. We are imperfect. We see the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul putting it clearly. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. But we see also up there in Isaiah showing us the ways of God. It is not just to say that they are high, and we should not think about it as just being high in terms of the ground and altitude and whatever it is. It is talking about the quality. It is talking about the nature of his thoughts. They are high, they are pure. Because of our imperfections, beloved brethren, we cannot solely depend on our human heart. We cannot solely depend on what we think. We must get it right that we have not yet attained perfection. We must also remember that we are sinful men and women. We must remember that on this side of eternity, our lives are tainted with this sin. Flesh. It is a dangerous thing to lean on your own understanding. Can you imagine choosing elders, deacons of the church, using our own understanding, how we feel? Choosing deacons according to how we feel? Choosing a pastor, how we feel? Our own understanding? Is it not which plunges people into trouble? To choose men according to their appearance, the kind of shoe they wear, the kind of appearance, when it comes to matters of faith, when it comes to matters pertaining to your life, you must not lean on your own understanding. Because there is a way that seems right to you and me, and yet its end is disastrous. And this comes to us as a challenge as we've been making the 2024 New Year resolutions of the things that we want to do and the things that we have planned and we have written and we are committed to achieving the same. And there is no consultation in terms of getting wisdom from those who are spiritual leaders, those who are mature Christians. There is no consultation. There is no reading the Word of God. There is no application of God's Word. We must not lean on our own understanding. So, if you are to depend on God, you must trust Him. And if you trust Him, you must not lean on your own understanding. If you lean on your own understanding, you will definitely not trust God. The third aspect that we see here about the command to depend on God is found in verse 6. And there we read quickly, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." So it is to acknowledge God. To trust, lean not, then acknowledge God. What is to acknowledge God? You can acknowledge someone who is in the hall and just say there is so and so. That is one way of acknowledging. And you go on with your business. There is also an acknowledgement of someone important in the room, and you will keep on referring to them. Whoever comes will say, "I'm riding on the protocols that have been mentioned," or protocols, whatever. But there is an acknowledgement. There is a big fish in the room. The president is here. It is all about him. And this is not to say that I'm equating that kind of scenario to what the wise man is talking about here. It is just an example, but it is similar to that. Acknowledge God. In other words, submit to Him. Acknowledge that He is higher than you. Place yourself under God. That is this acknowledge. It is not a mere pronouncement. It is a submission. It therefore calls us to surrender to God. Or not just surrender to God, surrender control to God. And daily acknowledge His sovereignty. It calls for a comprehensive submission to God in all aspects of our lives. Why do I say all aspects of our lives? Notice with me that it is not just to acknowledge Him. There is something coming before acknowledge here, and it is in all your ways. All your ways acknowledge Him. All of them. In other words, it is all aspects of your life. Acknowledge Him. Do not be choosy. Do not be subjective. Do not use this scripture in a way that, you know, you're just going to surrender certain things. It is to use it in its literal meaning. Also, all your ways, ways to do with how you are going to serve God in 2024, submit. Ways regarding marriage, submit. Ways regarding your profession, submit. Ways regarding your service in your particular ministry, submit to Him all your ways. Christians sometimes have the habit of only acknowledging God in certain aspects of their lives. When it comes to church, I'll acknowledge Him. When it comes to my work, I will do what I think is right. The human tendency is to rely on our own understanding and control situations. Beloved brethren, we must admit God's existence. Not just existence. The wise man is saying we must acknowledge God's hand upon us. We must acknowledge His reality. And we must acknowledge His trustworthiness. Quickly, briefly, this is the command that we see. Three aspects. But the goodness here is that we are motivated to obey this command by what we see here. And He shall direct your paths. At the end of verse 6. This is the promise. The promise of depending on God. What is a promise? It is a declaration or assurance that one will do something or that particular thing will happen. And what is the promise in this text? The promise is He will make straight your paths. Maybe 2023 was such a rugged, such a difficult path, such a difficult year, and we were just always complaining and relying on God, and we were actually suffering, but it is not because of just providence. Maybe it's because of leaning on our own understanding. We have a promise, and this promise is that if you don't do that, that which you did last year and the years past, you are going to have a straight path. This does not mean that you're not going to fall into all sorts of trials. This will happen, but you will be like what we saw in Matthew when we refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was saying, although this is difficult, paraphrased, let your will be done. Beloved brethren, the promise that is given to us this evening is that if we are going to trust in the Lord, we are going to be at peace. Philippians has this. Paul talking to them. They should not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, they must present these things to God. What do we do when we pray? We are relying on God. We are going to have peace in trials. The promise that we see here is that if, as we trust and acknowledge Him, He will guide us in the right direction. The imagery of a straight path implies a purposeful and ordered journey under God's guidance. The psalmist in 138 and verse 8 says something at the end of verse 8, and the words that I quote from there, the Lord will perfect all that which concerns me. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's guidance doesn't always mean an easy path, but it is the path that leads to peace, a path that leads to fulfillment. We must then conclude. Beloved brethren, where else do we see such beautiful words? Where else can we find such assuring words? Where else can we find such a loving God who commands you and gives you a promise? And you and I know that God's promise is yea and amen. What He says shall surely come to pass. And how is it that as Christians we have grown big-headed and sometimes departed from the Word of God and have endeavored to live life without the guidance of God? How is it that sometimes we have even worked and served in our ministries and whatever it is in such a manner without depending upon God's guidance? Overall, this passage encourages a deep and active faith of trusting God completely, seeking His guidance. Beloved brethren, if you trust God with all your heart, you will not lean on your own understanding. If you trust him with all your heart, you will not lean on your own understanding. If you don't lean on your own understanding, you will acknowledge God. If you acknowledge God, he will direct your path. I don't know what your fear has been. Probably for me, because of hearing it so much about the 50, 10 in 50, you also start thinking something big is going to happen. Maybe it is the year I'm going to die. What about my children? Are there such fears? Am I going to achieve this? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Depend on him. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Let's pray. As we now depart from this place, we give thanks to you, O God, for your faithfulness in answering our prayers, especially for today. We sought to meet with you, to hear you speak to us, and indeed you have done that. So, Lord, may your word be honored in our lives. We pray that there will be no mismatch in what we know and how we conduct ourselves. Help us for our hope to follow duly lies in you, in your strength alone. Help us to depend on you in this year 2024, in all matters affecting us, religious as well as in other areas of our lives. Eternal God, won't you now dismiss us with your blessing? We pray that you go before us, granting safety to each one of us. These things we ask and pray in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.